Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This reminds me, and this statement reminds me of the 50s and 60s.
We believe that being gay is something that is perfectly fine.
Now, Defense Minister McCain, McLeod, did...
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy.
I may be dumb.
This will leave a foul taste in your mouth.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. It's 877-876-PHIL. And our web address is philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, where right now we have live streaming video of the show. And you can also watch live streaming audio of the show. How do you watch live streaming audio of the show? Well, you can watch live streaming video of the show. And if you'd like, you can listen to live streaming audio of the show at philhendryshow.com. Coming up later on in the program, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. And the ongoing consumer protection argument, the ongoing argument, what is, what do you weigh more heavily? The protection of the consumer, the protection of the business serving the consumer, and we're going to talk about that with you. This hour we have Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and the topic tonight will be gold. Do you buy gold? One of our sponsors is a business that trades in precious metals. We very much believe in it here on this program. On Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots, we'll be talking, though, with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on gold. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, very happy to put the limelight on WDTW Detroit, 1310 AM, and also Greenville, North Carolina, WNBU 94.1 FM, two great stations along the Phil Hendry Radio Network. Again, our web address, philhendryshow.com, and we have been... featuring our afternoon program, which is our after-school special, if you will. We call it Hendry Emotionally Fragile. We've had two episodes of it, and people are enjoying it. Jay Santos with us from the South Bay, the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Jay, how are you doing?
Phil, I'm doing really good. Great to be on your program.
Gold and the purchase of gold is what we want to talk about tonight, because you have a program. It's not a program, it's an operation or some sort of a, some sort of I guess it's an operation, right?
All right. Anything that we do pertains to, the business of being Citizens Auxiliary Police is definitely an operation, is the term for it.
Okay, so you call this Goldfinger?
That's correct. It's a little bit of a kind of a fun play with the movie of the same name. And simply what it is, Phil, is taking a look at the purchases that are made in precious metals by individuals, whether they be individual or whether they be family, whether they be young people or old people, tracking them are people that are purchasing gold, and find out how come. Gold is a precious metal, and it's very, very valuable. There's no question about that. But I'm also particularly interested in... I'm sorry, Phil, I had to answer a telephone there. I'm also particularly interested in...
Oh, I see what the problem is. Okay, well, we'll get to that in a moment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a...
Because I know that one of our producers, is it Bud?
That's correct.
He's trying to... Don't call him now, Bud. Let's call him during the break.
Thank you very much. Gold is a precious metal, and gold is something that's extremely important, obviously, to people who collect it and to people who would use it as currency, but I would remind you, Phil, and I would remind your listeners, we already have currency in this country. It's called a dollar. It's called American currency. And right now we have people purchasing gold at near panic prices. So Operation Goldfinger is simply the members of Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're going to be paying a visit to individuals who are purchasing gold. We'll be paying a visit to some of these gold training places and asking people questions as they come out.
All right. Now, as I said, Jay, we have a sponsor on our show that is a precious metal dealer. We believe in the purchasing of precious metals, expanding one's portfolio when it comes to protecting oneself with the purchase of gold or anything for that matter. We don't think is a bad thing. As a matter of fact, our sponsor is Goldline. Now, why do you think it is?
Well, when you take a look at the purchase of gold, and I don't necessarily think it's a bad thing, Phil. I don't think that it's bad, but I do think that the purchase of gold at a price of $1,438, that's an ounce of gold. Again, that is a lot of money. 1 ounce of gold in American Eagle coin is $1,511. A quarter ounce of American Eagle gold coin, $403. It used to be a full ounce was $403. That's what it used to be. Now it's only a quarter of an ounce is $403. And if you want to use a comparison to drugs, which I do not endorse, and I would not endorse the purchase of drugs, but there was many years ago a time when, you know, I was a different person, and we all were different people in those days, and it was, unfortunately, I bought marijuana, and I would buy an ounce of marijuana, and again, I don't want my son or anyone listening to this to think that I'm endorsing it, but I would buy an ounce of marijuana for $10, let's say. And now an ounce of marijuana is over, so $160, $200.
And all right, well, that's a very strange comparison. I'm not interested in how much marijuana costs on the black market, on the illegal market. Gold is a legal, it is legal tender. It is a legal element or item or whatever of a transaction. So why, again, are you guys against people purchasing gold?
Well, I think we've said we don't believe in the panic purchase of gold, which is what's going on right now. We don't believe in a purchase of gold so that the government does not know. Hold on for a minute. 15-5. We don't believe in a purchase of gold so that... Right, I'll get that. We don't believe in a purchase of gold so that the government doesn't know, so that it's hoarded, so that it's hidden, or is otherwise we don't know where gold is. We do not believe in the purchase of gold to the point where a few people have all the gold, and guess what? You and I, we don't get none. And to me, that's a clear statement of non-belief in the United States of America.
All right, now that I take great exception to that comment as well, a statement of non-belief in the United States of America. When has, for instance... When has putting together an earthquake kit been a non-belief?
Mr. Henry.
No, hold on. When has putting together an earthquake kit been a non-belief in the United States of America? When has wearing seatbelts been a non-belief in America? In other words, we hedge our bets in many, many different ways in this country.
But the purchase of gold, in my opinion, Mr. Henry, is a statement that people are trying to hoard it and trying to... It's very valuable, okay? And it isn't like if you say you wanted to have a earthquake kit, okay, that's fine. There's no shortage of water, for last time I checked. There's no shortage of whatever you would have in an earthquake kit. You probably have a helmet to put on your head in case a beam or some ceiling was going to go crash down on your head or something. So if you got a helmet, you got water. And
I don't ever recall putting a helmet in an earthquake. I'm sorry, I have to laugh at that.
Well, Mr. Henry, I grew up in California, too, so I know exactly what earthquakes can do, okay?
All right, sir, but I have to laugh at that. Forgive me, but I have to laugh at a helmet in an earthquake kit. Understanding your analogy...
All right, so you have these things, but you don't go hoarding things that we do not have. And
who is hoarding gold? If you're buying gold at $1,400 an ounce, and you have the money to buy the gold at $1,400 an ounce... Then I guess that's what you get to do.
Yes, and if we, and I hope that it never happens, and Mr. Henry, if it does happen, I may come talk to you about it because, what's that about? But I hope it never happens.
What is wrong, sir?
I'm trying to get through to you and to your listeners that for people to go out and buy gold and have all this stuff about how, yeah, buy gold, because look at the U.S. economy. I mean, all you're doing is you're just making a very tough job, even more tougher, for the American economy. And I don't think it's right. We just found out here that...
We have the freedom in this country, Jay, and let me interrupt for a moment.
I just found out now that the ounce of gold at $1,438, that's an all-time high. Oh, my God. We really have...
All right, hold on for a minute. We have the freedom in this country, okay, to purchase gold because that is our personal choice. you questioning gold buyers, you're going to be standing outside these stores, outside of these precious metal merchants, and you're going to be doing what? You're going to be asking people how much they bought?
Yes, sir. What we're trying to do is we're trying to get an idea as to how much gold these people are buying so that we can get an accurate reporting to the government in terms of the...
So in other words, what you're doing is you're acting like a mini IRS for gold. Why don't you let the government do that?
Because, Mr. Henry, I think in a situation like this, people would tend to not be as honest, even less honest than they would doing their taxes. This is important to keep track on gold. And so that's what we would do. And all we're asking you to do is take a peek inside the bag or however you carry gold.
And if people refuse?
Mr. Henry, I've been down this road with you before.
No, you've been down the road with me before. You have no right to ask me or anybody else, any of my listeners, to go into their bag and to look for their gold. Okay? You don't have...
Mr. Henry, I have every right as a citizen to ask them, how much did you buy gold? And if they say yes... Then all bets are off.
No, what do you mean all bets are off? If you ask me, did I buy gold, and I say yes, I can keep right on walking.
No, because you've given me permission to ask you another question about it. If I ask you, you know, I don't want to have to interrupt your day or anything. I would now at this time, you know, I want to now at this time make a request to see at this time to see the gold that you got.
And I say no, you're not going to see the gold that I bought.
And at that time, then I would have to then use my... constitutional citizen arrest power to at least detain you. And
how are you going to detain me?
Mr. Henry, I'm not going to go into police procedure.
Jay, you know, Citizens Auxiliary Police is not a, as far as I know, you're not a fully licensed police agency by the state of California.
We are a Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we are backing up the police in the efforts that they make. And
how are you going to get me, man, after I go in and buy gold, how are you going to get me to show you that gold?
I'm a professional, and we do have methods that we use. They're not going to hurt you.
That are not going to hurt me. And how do you keep yourself from being hurt?
You know, we've been down this road before, Miss Henry.
Jay, it's always a very interesting conversation. If I'm walking out of there with gold, and you say that I'm buying gold, and you don't think I have the right to buy gold, and...
I didn't say you don't have the right to buy gold, but I do think... This panic buying of gold needs to be monitored a lot more closely. That's all I'm saying.
Well, all right, you're calling it a panic, and you say that if people are buying up all this gold, then comes the crash of the American economy. This is the freedom that we have as Americans to choose and to augment our portfolio, if you will, our investments, if you will. It is our right to do what we wish. And if you call it some kind of a hedge against the collapse of the American economy, we do all kinds of things in this country to protect ourselves against whatever may come. And most of the time it doesn't happen. So guess what? We take a big loss on it. Jay Santos with us from the Citizens Auxiliary Police, who believes there's a lot of, quote, panic buying of gold. And they're positioning their subcommanders and their officers outside of gold stores to ask people how much gold they're buying and what are they planning on doing with it and are they reporting the purchase to the government and so on and so forth, and are you undermining the U.S. economy? Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. We believe very strongly in the purchase of gold on this show, and we will continue to push that with Mr. Santos. We'll be back with some of your calls and more of Jay Santos and the Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show Radio for Patriots, by Patriots, and on the line with me, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. If you're a person that purchases gold, you believe gold is a good hedge against whatever calamity may visit our economy. Mr. Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, and we've had him on the program before, a volunteer police agency that is patterned, even though you predate President Obama's citizens' defense concept, you pretty much adhere to that notion, don't you?
Well, we do, and we feel that President Obama had he had a solid gold idea there with a citizens' defense force. We are not the police. We don't pretend to be police, but we do certainly consider ourselves on the front lines of law enforcement. And when we see people coming out of a precious metal store and they are hurling a bag of gold that could be worth gosh knows how much money, well, they're entitled to that, but what's that about? You know, are they banking on the collapse of the American economy? Or are they?
See, that when you get into questions like that, are they banking on the collapse of the American economy? Are they, you know, what's that about? What is that about? What is that about with you? Why are you asking those questions?
I think we need to know, Mr. Henry, because this is a limited resource. It's not as if we're buying water or plywood or whatever, what have you, baked beans or canned good or baked, the canned, fruit cocktail or everything you buy. If you have a collapse, or, like an earthquake collapse or a collapse of the economy where you got to have food, we're talking about gold. And
so there's a limited supply of gold. We don't really know how limited that supply is. It really just depends on how quickly or at what price it trades. Gold is $1,511 right now. It's $1,438 right now. If people can afford it, people can afford it. What is it with you, Jay, stopping at outside of these precious metal businesses and asking people how much gold did they buy?
Well, you want to get into a shouting match about this, Phil.
No, I'm not getting into a shouting match. You're not telling me how it is when I walk out of a gold store and I got a bag of gold, and you're standing there disapprovingly looking at me with your Citizens Auxiliary Police saying, well, here's a guy that bought gold. He must be really down on the American economy.
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
All right, fine. You're entitled to your thoughts. You're not entitled to do something about me because it's bugging you.
It is not bugging me per se. It is a statement by you that you think let me give you an example if I could, Phil.
But I think what?
That you think the economy under President Obama is just dog, is dog do on is dog. Dog do, I'll give you an example, okay?
Is dog do. That's great.
Well, you want to bring it to that level, Mr. Henry.
No, I'm not bringing it to any level. I'm just asking for truth here. What is your example?
My example is this. We were talking to a gentleman here last month, and it made it into one of the local papers, the Torrance Daybreak. This gentleman, Rich Anderson, who was coming out of, it was a small precious metal place here in the South Bay, Goodson, and he came out. He had, I believe he had, three American Gold Eagle coins that I bought. Well, I said, so what did you buy? And he asked me who I was, and I pointed to my blue armband. I said, we're Citizens Auxiliary Police. And he said...
You pointed to your blue armband, and that's supposed to be ID?
Mr. Henry, you're asking me a question. I'm trying to give you an answer. I pointed to the blue armband. I said, we're the Citizens Auxiliary Police. What did you buy? And he said something, in my opinion, which I was very smart ass. He said, who's asking? I said, well, okay, let's, start all over again. My name's Jay Santos with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And he said, I understood you the first time. He kept on walking. I said, now we got a problem. And I don't know if you ever heard the line from the movie Chinatown when Roman Polanski says, whoa there, kitty cat. I said something like that. Whoa there, kitty cat. And he got up.
You said, whoa there, kitty cat, to who? To this gentleman?
That's correct. That stopped him. At that time, as I was talking to him, Sub-Commander Gleason was able to get the bag, take a look inside. We saw that he was not lying. He had one extra, is that correct? Yeah, he was lying. He had one extra American Eagle gold coin, so it was confiscated.
So you stole the man's gold?
No, sir, we did not steal his gold.
Yes, you did. You took that bag of gold coins from this man. He said he had four and he had five?
He said to us he had four. He lied. He had five. So we have taken that. And
where is that?
Where is what, sir?
Where is the gold that you took from that man?
It has been sequestered, and
it's been sequestered. Where is the gold that you took from that man?
Mr. Henry, I'm going to say it again. It's been sequestered, and...
It's sequestered up to what point? Until when?
Until such time as we can work out with the courts what exactly happened.
I can't believe a cop didn't come to your house and arrest you for mugging this guy.
Police officers did arrive. And
they did. Did they arrest you?
I'm not going to comment on that, Mr. Henry. That's an ongoing investigation.
Did you give the gold back?
I'm not going to comment on that. It has been sequestered.
Well, I think I know what happened. You didn't tell the cops where the gold is, did you?
Which cops are you talking about? Are you talking about me?
No, I'm talking about real cops. The real cops that came to your house.
I'm not going to continue this conversation, Mr. Henry. If you're going to blather on me...
A moment ago, you were getting so emotional, it sounded to me like you were going to start bawling. Now, what, are you getting pissed off?
Now, you're the guy that's going to be bawling, Mr. Henry, when, you know, when you're forced to face a fact.
And really, what's that fact?
The fact is this, that the American economy is close to a era class, and the man said he had 4 American Eagle gold coins. Well, guess what? Bingo, got a little newsflash for you, he had 5. So he lied, and, boy, trying to get people like you to understand something.
Oh, I'm sure it's really tough. I'm sure it's very difficult, Mr. Santos, trying to get me to understand Martian when I don't speak it. 877-876-7445. Back with your phone calls for Jay Santos, who now I find out stole that man's gold. The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
I'm what?
I think you're getting very close to a some kind, I think, a very actionable line, Mr. Henry. You are accusing me of committing a crime. And
if you grabbed that guy's bag of gold and took it from him, then that's theft. Okay?
The man refused to tell us how much gold he had.
And there's no need for the guy to tell you how much gold he had. There's no law. 877-876-PHIL. Gold. Who's buying it? Who isn't buying it? And Jay Santos and the Citizens Auxiliary Police trying to find out who you are, how much you're buying, and why. Here's Mike in Mobile, Alabama. Mike, you're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos. Go ahead, sir.
How you doing tonight, sir?
I'm fine, thank you.
I would like to comment on the gentleman who is from California talking about search and seizure. I'm a retired policeman from 2 jurisdictions, and I'm also a retired special forces officer. And I would still try to figure out what probable cause he would have to search that man's bag and what authority you'd have under law. And mind you, I was a policeman in Texas and in Alabama, and I've never heard anything like this. And the most important thing was, is once he asked me to open it up and try to take my stuff in the state of Alabama, that'd be robbery. So,
well,
you know.
Here's the problem that we're having. Here's the problem we're having right now, and it has to do with this. First of all, what I would say, given the fact that, and I don't know if the gentleman's still there or not, or I don't know where he is, but I'll go on. Given the fact that what we have been talking about, is the gentleman there?
Yes, he is. I'll take care of this, okay? Are you there, Mike?
Yes, sir, I am.
Okay. Go ahead, Jay.
All right, good. I just want to, because Mr. Henry sometimes disconnects phone calls, and I think he does it on purpose.
No, I do not. And, Mr. Santos, you know, you're wasting this man's time.
First of all, Mike, congratulations, and thank you very much for your service to our country. Appreciate it very much. I appreciate you being on the front lines of law enforcement. In our country, as you know, we have paper money and we use coin money. And that's what we use. Now, people are going out and buying gold, okay? You know, right away as a law enforcement officer, I got to ask myself, what's that about? You know?
So, I have to ask you, what academy have you been to and what formal training have you had?
Well, we're with the Citizens Auxiliary Police. I was trained under Major
General. That's not the question I asked you, sir, was what formal training have you had as a law enforcement officer? Have you ever heard of due process?
Well, I think you'll find... that, you know,
and if you think,
you know,
if someone's taking a substance illegally, before you even question me, you think about doing a thing called Miranda.
I don't know who...
Miranda rights? You never heard of that?
Oh, I've heard of Miranda.
You ever heard of Miranda?
He's talking about... Well, yes, I have. You sound like you were saying a woman's name for a minute. I spaced. I know you're saying, you know, Miranda, like Carmen Miranda.
But Carmen Miranda? You don't know as a cop what Miranda is?
Yes, I do. And I'm simply saying... If we are in the middle of an economic crisis and there's people out there buying gold instead of paper money, and Obama,
I didn't think we were on the gold
saying,
standard, sir.
You know, see, that's messed up, you know. And
I'm sorry. What did you say, Mike?
I didn't think we were still on the gold standard.
Well, we're not
so
on the
really
gold
no
standard.
Difference.
Gold...
That's right. We're not on the gold standard. No difference.
We're not on the gold standard.
If I go buy a car, or if I go buy a piece of gold, or a diamond.
If people are buying gold,
with my money,
people...
my business.
But see, if people are buying gold, that means they don't trust the American economy no more. And I gotta, you know, doesn't that make you nervous?
And it,
that's not your job as a cop.
Sir, I'm a deputy.
Don't make you nervous, huh?
And, and what's going on that does not make me nervous. Okay, I'm a staunch Republican, this is not what you're talking about.
You're talking about being in the war.
BS.
Did you ever arrest? You didn't arrest no Al Qaeda, right? So that's certainly know what it is to. Do you arrest Al Qaeda? No, you shoot him. So I don't know what your experience is with like arresting people.
He said he was.
I was a homicide detective in two largest cities, United States.
Well, with New York,
I know a little bit about law enforcement and arrests.
And you were also in a war, and you also got medals, and well, I think the story sounds a little suspicious right now.
Why don't you have some respect for this man and believe him? Because you haven't answered any questions at all. You're talking about taking gold. You took 5 American Eagle coins away from this guy because he said he had 4.
Why did he say he had 4? Yeah. Why did he say he had 4 when he had 5? You're an investigator. Well, what's, you know.
What probable cause would I have to speak with this man? What even reasonable suspicion would I have to speak with this man?
He's coming out of a gold store. He's coming out of a gold store. Is he trying to corner the market?
Corner of a market? You know, this guy isn't one of the Hunt brothers. He's coming out of a gold store, buying himself 5 American Eagle gold coins to see how much they appreciate or whatever. Maybe he's giving them as gifts. Maybe he's giving them as kids.
I need to ask a simple question. What statute has someone violated?
He almost is violating securities. You know,
almost only counts at hand grenades and atomic weapons.
What's that?
Almost only counts in hand grenades and atomic weapons. Either you violated a criminal statute or you didn't.
Boy, that doesn't make any sense. Almost only counts in tango.
He said in hand grenades or atomic weapons. Listen, I'm not going to waste any more of this man's time. I thank you very much, Mike, for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to, Alex in Victor Valley, California. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, my question is, Jay, you say you back a police agency. Doesn't by backing you have to have authority from one? So who exactly gives you authorization to break, go into bags And I also want to know what your evasive maneuvers are. If I say no, go away, what are you going to do to me?
Well, I don't think that's anything you need to know. The first question, don't you support the police? Of course you do.
Absolutely, I don't go and violate people's rights by searching their bags without any probable cause.
What I'm saying is I support the police, too. And you may support them in your way, I may support them in mine. But I think we've got to get our eye back on the ball here. I'm asking a question Mr. Henry doesn't want to answer, and that is, what's going on with gold, the price of gold, and the fact it's going up, everyone's buying it.
What
aren't you worried about
agent,
that?
What police gold agency left? Says, Mr. Santos, you and your little group of cronies go and take care of, take people's property and go through their stuff? Who gave you that authorization besides you and your little group?
United States Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution says you have the right to stand outside of a gold store and say, "Hey, Alex, what's in your bag?" And if I say no, what are you going to do if I say no?
If you say no, trust me when I tell you, it's not a problem.
Oh well, that's
what does that what does that mean? Not a problem. What are you going to do? What if I say no? And
I will. I got to look in that other guy's bag. We'll see. We'll take a peek in your bag.
What if you look in my bag and I crack you across the face?
Well, it's not going
to
happen.
All right, look at Jay. I don't know how it is you are able to. I don't know who this man was, by the way. You say that you got into that guy's bag. Well, maybe he wasn't. Maybe he was by himself, and maybe he wasn't a man who put up any resistance. Maybe the poor man was scared.
Who
knows?
Uniform?
You know.
Do you wear something?
Yes, I do. I wear a blue armband. We wear a blue armband, sir.
A blue armband?
Yes, sir.
So a blue armband gives you the right to go through my property.
I don't know what you find so funny about that.
Well, what we find funny about that is that's not a uniform. That's a blue armband.
Do you and your
live in
your mom's
in this day and age, in this day and age of nobody loves this country, everyone is squatting and just letting one go on top of the flag, and we're out there trying to help a country. And I'm getting laughed
at. I love this country, but when you're living in your mom's basement and you're getting together.
No, sure, I'm not. I own my own home. My wife owns the home, and I'm living with. Well,
imagine
so I own the home.
Imagine that. What do you do for What do you do for income?
I'm not going to answer any more of your questions. What do you do for a living? What do you do? How do you do what you do?
I manage a restaurant, actually.
Do you own your own home?
Yeah, I do.
No, you
Thank
don't.
You
rent. No, you don't. You rent an apartment. You run an apartment. No restaurant manager owns a house.
How do you know that?
No restaurant manager owns a house.
No restaurant manager owns a house.
I see. So what do you do for income?
All right, okay. Thanks for your call, sir. I appreciate your call. 877-876-PHIL. That gentleman is obviously, you got him wound up, and you like doing that. And I you know, you're not giving straight answers. And
I've given the answers, Mr. Henry, that we are authorized to give as Citizens Auxiliary Police. And when, if a man wants to know how I got inside a bag, I'll tell him how I go in a bag. Okay? And you know, and, I mean, are you going to answer that question and say, how'd you get into my bag?
And, you know what? I'm not, forget about that. But you are woefully unaware of law, and you're woefully unaware of search and seizure, and you're woefully unaware of what it is to have an actual badge that is recognized by the state or the jurisdiction that you're in, and you're a volunteer police force. I understand we have neighborhood watches, and I understand we have volunteers. We've got police explorers. We've got all kinds of police volunteers, but you're not working with any police agency.
We're doing something, yes, very original, absolutely. And you want to know why? Because things were out of control in this country. I got two words for you. Guardian angels. Oh, yeah.
What about the guardian angels?
Yeah. What about the guardian angels? What do? They go out and kick ass.
Hey, you know something? I met and talked with Curtis Lewa. I know what they are, the guardian angels. And the guardian angels know exactly what their rights are and what they can and can't do. And the guardian angels are not out there confiscating bags and looking into people's personal possessions. John in Mobile, Alabama. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Jay Santos.
Thank you. I was just wanting to comment about that guy that's, taking the gold from people.
Yeah, that's
me. I'm a licensed firearm carrier.
What's
that? And if I go into a place to buy gold, it's nobody's business what I've got in that bag but mine. You try to take my bag away from me, you're going to be, saying hello to Mr. Glock that I carry with me all the time.
Well, sir,
and,
are you licensed to carry a weapon? A concealed weapon? Are you licensed to carry a concealed weapon, sir?
Yes, sir. I am licensed to carry a concealed weapon.
Well, you'd have to show me that license before you're able to pull it on me. So that gives me time to...
No, sir, I am not.
Oops, you dropped it. See? That's how fast I am. That's how good I am.
Well, what do you mean that's how good you are?
If this gentleman has to show me his license, and he says, here's my license for the gun, well, he's holding that with one hand. With the other hand, I got his gun.
No, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You reach for someone's gun, you're asking to get shot.
Oh. Well, listen to the guy who's been watching too much Sugarfoot.
Wait a minute. What do you mean Sugarfoot? You reach for someone's gun, you're asking to get shot.
If the guy's holding his license...
First of all, let me ask the gentleman who's on... John, do you have to show your license to somebody before you pull your gun out?
No, sir, I do not.
Because
he is, not an officer. If I go up against an officer of the law who's got a badge and who's got a gun, I show him, hey, I am a licensed concealed weapon carrier.
Oh,
I do have
that's
a gun on me.
That's the dumbest thing you could do. Then he'll shoot you, for sure.
No, he's saying I have a gun in the glove compartment or something, you know.
What? I don't know how you guys... How do you live through one day to the next, John, without getting shot? You're walking around with that license. All I wanted to see was in your bag to see how much gold you had, and you want to shoot me?
That is nobody's business how much gold I've got in my bag but mine.
That's the whole, yeah.
And
that's
the one
whole thing,
that sold
Jay.
It to me. That is
sir,
the only business that anybody has got to know what I've got.
But what if we're concerned
like
about
like I said,
what
you try to take my bag from me, you're going to say hello to Mr. Glock, and Mr. Glock talks 15 times very loud.
But what if I try to talk Mr. Glock out of it?
You ain't going to talk Mr. Glock out of it. Because when I pull Mr. Glock, I shoot. Period. No question
about it.
Yeah,
Mr. Glock may disagree with you. And what if he disagrees with you?
What are you talking about, okay? What this man's talking about...
He said when he pulls Mr. Glock, and I'm asking Mr. Glock agrees with him.
It's a gun, man.
I thought he was talking about something that he has with him.
No, it's a gun. Glock. The Glock gun. Wow.
Well, let me say this, John. If you're trying to corner the market, corner the gold market, we're going to have a problem. Because our money's not going to be worth anything, and there you are sitting on big stacks of gold, like the Ghost of Christmas Present, and meanwhile the rest of the country's eating baked beans and canned beans. You understand what I'm saying? So that's a decision you want to make. Go right ahead, sir. And all I'm asking you is if I can just take a peek, you know, whatever you got hiding in your bag.
All right, thank you for your call.
There's nobody's business what I've got but mine.
In your bag?
Yes. Thanks very much, John.
877.
Right. But you have?
In his bag.
But his. Thank you very much, John. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Next hour, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to talk with him about consumer protection, about the protection of businesses, and things that you find in your food. More with Jay Sanis and the idea that he's standing outside of stores that sell and trade precious metals, asking people, how much precious metal did you acquire in there? How much is it worth? What do you got? Are you going to report the taxes? I mean, this is, once again, and this is a self-appointed protector of public interest. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. For more information on this and other great talk programs, go to talkradionetwork.com. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-7445, as we are with Jay Sanis of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. And we're talking with Jay about a very controversial program that he has started. It is a program called Operation Goldfinger, and it may have a whimsical title to it, Jay, but it is a violation of people's personal rights.
No, sir, it's not.
Yes, sir, it is. And you know, you don't have to debate me. You're listening to a guy. You just heard a guy say that he'd shoot you if you reached into his bag.
Well, you know, Mr. Henry, all I can tell you is that Michael Fitzgibbons, who is the young man who told me that he had 4 American Eagle coins and lied to me, he had 5. We were able, using very deft and very sophisticated Citizens Auxiliary Police procedures, we got the bag away from him.
And you stole his money, and you sequestered it, and let's go to a phone call.
Wait, you can't say that.
Well, let's go to, that's exactly what you did. You stole 5 American Eagle coins valued about $300 apiece. 877-876-PHIL. Tom in Carson, California, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Phil. Hey, Jay, you know what?
Yes, sir.
I buy gold.
What's that?
For investment. Right?
Yes,
for my kid's future.
Well,
and
how much?
I buy silver, too. Silver's a good buy right now. Okay?
Well, if I'm coming out of a store... Are you reporting
you
that? Are you reporting that?
Am I reporting it?
Yeah.
I buy with cash. And
when you get home, do you call the government and report that?
He just answered your question.
No, I buy
with
cash. And the guy asked for a signature, and I signed John Doe. Okay? There's no record of it. Right?
Wow.
Now,
Can you tell me where you're living right now?
No, tell him where you live.
Listen, when I come out of a store, if you approach me with your UN blue armband and blue helmet and want to look in my bag, I'm not letting Officer Dumpke look in my bag. Okay?
Sir,
I protect myself,
too. I think you've got me confused with people you may know. I am not an individual who is going to be brushed aside like I'm some sort of a homosexual scout leader. I've been called gay, gay-like, gay bait. I've been called queer fairy, and all these names and everything. And yes,
all right, well, that doesn't make
I've
a
been
difference.
Able to,
I served in the military. I know how to protect myself, too, right?
Well,
so
I mean, my point is
you're going to try and look in my bag.
We're going to dance.
You're going to have to get past me to get into the bag. Okay?
I don't think that'll be much. I don't think that'll be much of a problem.
You know, Jay, all you're doing is provoking people. All you're doing, it sounds to me like you're one of these guys that wants to go out and just pick fights. Is that what you want to do?
I do not, Mr. Henry. If this gentleman was listening to me, he'd understand that the purchasing of gold undermines the U.S. economy and the things that Obama's trying to do. And
what are you, all of a sudden, Obama's personal cops? I mean, you mentioned the civil defense or the citizen's defense.
We were started back long before Obama, okay?
Your job isn't to protect President Obama's concept of the economy. You don't even know what your job is. What do you do for a living?
Mr. Henry, that's really none of your concern.
You know, you don't want to answer a lot of questions, but you want a lot of people to answer questions. How much gold have you got? How much do you, where did you buy it? How much have you got? Are you reporting it?
Yeah.
All these questions.
I got a question for him, too. He said, go out and buy paper money. Now, how the hell do you buy paper money? You know what I'm saying?
You go and you buy it.
What do you take paper money to buy paper money? That doesn't make any sense.
You go and buy paper money instead of the gold. No, I'm not talking about. You can go and buy. If you had English pounds, you could go buy American money.
If you had English pounds?
Yeah.
Well, I don't live in England, right? I'm in America. What the heck does that have to do with it?
Okay, then why don't you buy euros?
He doesn't want to buy euros. He doesn't want to buy English pounds. He wants to buy gold. And he uses American cash to buy it.
Yeah,
you guys buy silver. You guys have got some pretty big mouths on the other end of telephones, don't you?
Oh, brother.
Really? On the other end of the phone? Boy, I don't like that at all. You should go out to the bingo houses
and patrol out there.
Bingo houses.
Phil Hendry.
When the old ladies are starting to sell themselves because.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
This reminds me, and this statement reminds me of the 50s and 60s.
Now, Defense Minister McCain.
If I thought you never.
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy.
Jim Jongmin wanting to.
She's going to hell, this bitch.
All right, so the country music opens, but I don't think aren't working, very well.
Come here, I like that.
Get rid of that, okay? I want up-tempo only, man, up-tempo only. All right, anyway, I like country music, but I like whoever the hell Toby Keith, he's good.
You didn't know that, Toby Keith.
Yes, I did know it was Toby Keith. I like the song. I just don't like it as bumper for the montage. 877-876 here on Radio 4 Patriots by Patriots. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. The world famous Phil Hendry Show. That is our number, and you can also join us online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com, which is where we hold forth on our video cast. And we have a live streaming video of our show, as well as the audio, at philhendryshow.com every night. We also have Hendry, Emotionally Fragile, our 4 o'clock in the afternoon special rant. So check it all out there on live streaming video. And I just got an interesting email from, not an interesting email, it was an interesting tweet from one of our listeners who said that he was watching on demand one of our video casts on iPhone.
No.
Yes, using Skyfire. Now, if I'm saying something here that's illegal, or I'm saying something that doesn't exist, or I'm saying whatever it is I'm saying, don't blame me. Blame the guy that tweeted me. Who is he? I don't know. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL on the Phil Hendry Show. Time now for a visit from Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills. If we've got Mr. Bell ready to go here.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
And, Bud, do we have Mr. Bell?
Hold
on. We're having a hard time pulling him in, I guess. Oh, there he is. Ted?
Yeah, Phil, right here.
Hold on.
Here at Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
I'm sorry, we got a big night tonight, Phil, and so I wasn't able to get to the phone. I apologize.
That's all right. Ted Bell, who is the sponsor of this segment of the Phil Hendry Show, joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California, and we were going to talk a little bit about consumer protection, right?
Well, we are, and there's more to this than just consumer protection, Bill. This is also the protection of an upstanding business, a business that has been in Beverly Hills for 27 years, and I'm at 27 years under my ownership, and previously 8 years. So that's 35 years, Phil, that we've been in business here in Beverly Hills, and to have been the victims of a hoax, I think, you know, it can scare you. It scared me. It scared my wife. It scared our staff. But I can assure you that we took care of this as quickly as we could. It was something that is ongoing, the investigation, and certainly this happens. It happens all the time. And
well, before you get into it, we have to know what it was that I know what happened, but I want the audience to get up to speed.
I apologize, Phil. In October, and I've just been informed by my attorney that this is, you know, it stepped up a little bit. We had a dinner party that came in here. It was a Saturday night. It was a birthday party. On around 10:30, I was informed by one of the bus staff, one of the young men that buses the tables, that I had a customer that claimed that she had some kind of object in her food. I went over to find out what it was. The woman in question pointed out to a condom.
And a condom in her food.
That is correct. Now, I admitted at the time that it was most likely a condom from the kitchen, and I'll tell you why, Bill.
So there was a condom in her food.
There was a condom in her food, but hold on. This is something that, you know, you need to understand. The fact that I said to her very candidly, yes, there was a party here last night, and there had been a party the night before. It was a going-away party for Jennifer Bill, who had been one of our waitresses. She was going off to Europe, going to school. And so we had a party the night before. The night before in the kitchen, it got a little out of control. Now, all of this I admitted to in the deposition. So when the young woman said that she found a condom and...
Where was this condom?
It was underneath, it was in a baked potato underneath the sour cream. So she had ordered a baked potato with sour cream and chives, and it was just under the sour cream on the baked potato. I'm not proud of it, but there's a lot more to this story, okay?
Well, just to say that there was a condom in someone's food, and that you are admitting that there was...
Well, hold on, because there is more to the story, and this is something I think your audience needs to understand. I think any time you say to somebody or in the news, there's a condom in my food, or there was a condom in this food, or something like that, you're going to have people regurgitating, or they're going to be very uncomfortable with the information. They're going to say, well, I don't like that. But I want people to know what happened.
All right.
There was a party the night before. There was, forgive me, there was sexual activity in our kitchen. So the fact that there was a condom in this woman's plate, on her plate, I take full responsibility for. And I told her that almost immediately. At that time, we comped her for the baked potato. I told her at that time that I could assure her that there was nothing that was, there was no contamination beyond the condom. And
what I don't understand. I'm a little shocked. I got to tell you, I'm a little bit in shock to say that to admit. Okay.
Let's not get too preachy, Phil. You know,
I'm not getting preachy.
But what I'm saying is, please don't, because I am a sponsor. And
I understand you're a sponsor, but I got to tell you, I'm still a little bit in shock. You get asked, you get told there's a condom.
No, are you listening to me?
Yes.
Someone told me, one of the waiters, one of the bus people said there's a young woman, there is a party with a complaint. I went over, she said she found this in her food, it was a condom. It was underneath the sour cream, just above the potato, on her baked potato.
Had someone purposefully placed it there?
No, I'm sure it was just a mistake. And so I said, I apologize. Yes, it is a condom. You're right. I didn't try to deny it. I didn't do what a lot of these restaurants do, which is try to deny it. I said, yes, that is exactly a condom. It is in your food. And moreover, I can explain. And I went on to tell the table, and as it turned out, this was a birthday party for the woman in question. Her husband was there, her sister and her husband, and her parents.
So you're telling the story of this condom getting into this woman's food,
No, I'm not telling the story of the condom getting into the woman's food. No, I'm not.
Well, what are you saying?
I'm telling her that I understand how a condom could, because last night, if you're listening to what I'm saying...
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
All right. Last night, there was, and I apologize to her, sexual activity in our kitchen. I was not hiding anything, in other words. I went so far as I also said, I apologize. We are going to comp you the side dish. I can assure you that there is no STD or anything like that, because I did have to tell her that it is most likely, and I said this with a great deal of embarrassment, a great deal of shame. Please don't understand to think for a minute, Phil, that I'm proud of this.
Well, you know, Ted, you're admitting to an awful lot of damning information.
Well, I'm admitting to information. Let's decide whether it's damning or not at a later date. I said that I did not have any kind of a disease.
So you told this woman that...
Phil, I'm a sponsor. Boy, I'm a sponsor.
Well, all right, so you say you're a sponsor, Ted. Am I not allowed... What are you...
I would rather that you not raise your voice.
All right, you told this woman that you had sex in the kitchen, that most likely that was a condom that you wore. You do not have an STD. You're being honest with her. You're comping her the potato. What did she say?
Well, she responded in a way that was rude. It was crass. She responded in a way by making a scene not only at the table. She made a scene at the hostess station. I was threatened with every kind of lawsuit. And I was, I'll tell you something, Phil, I've never heard that kind of language. I've never seen a young woman in her early 20s respond with such hostility. She was so angry, she was spitting. I've never seen the men in the party, one of whom, her husband, looked as if he wanted to assault me. And boy, I wish he would have. I really do. Because if that man had laid a hand on me, we wouldn't even, you and I would be talking about this right now.
Well, you know what, Ted, that's not, you know, forgive me, but that's not a way to get out of a lawsuit. I mean, so the guy assaults you. Now you got two lawsuits.
That's right, yeah. So that's a hell of a countersuit.
Well, all right.
Trust me, all right? I have never been spoken to that way by anyone in my life. As you know, I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps, okay?
Yeah. Why'd you only spend 2 years in the Marine Corps?
I spent 2 years in the Marine Corps, and I don't know whether you want to talk about it right now. I was dishonorably discharged.
All right.
But anyway, I was 2 years in the Marine Corps, and I was called every name in the book by the drill instructor. Every name in the book. I heard my mother talked about in ways you can only dream of, in ways you can only imagine. So, anyway, after she got done calling me every name in the book, swearing a blue streak, her husband threatening me with violence, every kind of insult you can possibly imagine, I said to this woman, I have responded to you with honesty, I've responded to you with grace and style, I offered to compensate you at some level, and this is how you talk to me. I said, I am shocked. The next morning, by the way, Phil, I had to go to urgent care. I had to talk to my doctor, Dr. Stultz, because I had some arrhythmia. And I can tell you, that is not anything you want. And I will tell you something else, too. I'm going to throw that into any counterclaim that we make.
And all right. So, Ted, what I'm hearing here is that a condom was found in a woman's food. And you take responsibility up to a point, but not...
No, I take full responsibility.
I understand that, but I got to tell you, the way you responded to her by saying you'll comp her the price of the potato and you don't have an STD, it almost sounds like a joke to me.
No, what sounds like a joke?
It sounds like you're joking with this woman. It doesn't even sound...
Well, what do you mean joking with her? What I said, I was very honest with her, and I said we'd had a party at...
No, I know you were honest. I'm sorry, there's a condom in your food. We had a party last night. You know, I don't know what the argument is here. It sounds like a slam dunk to me. It sounds to me like you're dead. It sounds to me like she could own your restaurant if she wanted to.
Well, you don't know anything about the law then, do you? And again, I'm a sponsor, and the way you're talking to me is...
Oh, come on, you're a sponsor.
The way you're talking to me and not taking my side in this issue is very troubling. And I'm not asking you to take a side that is an unreasonable side. I'm asking you to take a side, frankly, that is a very reasonable side. I said to her, I'll cover the potato. I don't have an STD. I was honest. Yes, it's a condom. I did something that they tell you to do. Be honest. And guess what? I was honest, and they still want to nail me to a cross. And I can tell you this much, Phil. I now know how that man felt, that man who was beaten and then dragged to the top of Mount Calvary.
Oh, come on, man. Don't be blasphemous on top of everything else.
How am I being blasphemous?
Comparing yourself to Jesus?
Well, I can tell you that I know what it feels like to feel those nails going right through your hands, because that's what she's doing.
All right, Ted, 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who readily admitted, I've never heard this before, but he readily admitted to a customer that, yes, that was a condom in her food, and it was actually a condom that was most likely worn by him after having sex in their kitchen the night before. You know, look, man, I am all in favor of the private businessman, and guys like this make it so difficult for me. I'm all in favor of business people doing business the way they must. But guys like this make it tough for guys like me. When I'm advocating on behalf of private business and advocating on behalf of getting off the backs of business people and making sure that business people have everything they need to make a dollar, and here comes this guy with a condom and a baked potato and everything that goes along with it, some law is bound to be passed as a result of this jackball, and he is a sponsor. You understand, ladies and gentlemen, that I risk losing him as a sponsor tonight by arguing with him. 877-876-PHIL. How do we defend business people like this? 877-876-7445. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and we'll be right back.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-7445. Here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show every night here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're here with Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, who is one of our sponsors, and a situation, Ted. And, you know, I told you about the Smith & Wolensky, right?
No, I told you about Smith & Wolensky.
All right, Smith & Wolensky. That woman made that up.
Yes, she made it up.
But in this instance, and that was a woman, folks, if you weren't with us, a woman who slipped a condom into her clam chowder and tried to pretend like it was Smith & Wolensky. And Smith & Wolensky, to their credit, said there's no way in hell that that came from our kitchen. There's no way in hell that came from our suppliers. We'll trace it all the way back to the supplier. And we think we are being had, and we think the system's being had, and we're going to countersue this bitch if she tries to take us to court. And guess what?
They found out that she put the condom in there.
Yeah, they found out. But in this case, the condom was not put in there. You did. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't put the condom in there, Phil. I said to her that I understand how it got there.
Well, it's sitting underneath the sour cream and on top of the potato, like someone placed it there.
Wait a minute. What are you accusing me of? Are you saying that...
No, I'm not saying. I'm saying somebody obviously did it there, put it there on purpose.
Whoa. I'm not saying that either. What I'm telling you is, I admit, yes, that's a condom. Yes, I probably wore it, because the night before, and I'm not proud of this, I was involved in a liaison in the kitchen because there was a very, very, high-energy party going on. What happened, though, is when I offered to comp her the potato and everything else... And
comping her the potato? Don't you feel cheap?
Excuse me? This is a potato from the potato tree. You're fully aware. I'm not going to go down this road. You know I invented wrapping them with tin foil. How dare you?
But don't you think that's cheap, finding a condom in her food and comping her the potato?
And then I said that I did not have an STD and that...
And how do you know that? You're not a doctor. You're not a scientist.
Well, now I've heard it all.
Wait a minute, Ted.
Now I've heard it all. You're calling one of your sponsors a man whore. You're calling me a satyr, a disease-flanked, a disease-soaked man whore. Is that what you're calling me? And you're telling me this in front of potential...
Ted, I didn't say that. I said a doctor...
I said, I know I ought to know what diseases I have.
877-876-PHIL.
Yeah, you better go to a call, because I'll tell you something, Phil. I'm a sponsor of this program. And
I know you're a sponsor. That doesn't mean I don't get to ask questions.
Well, but some of the questions you're asking, I think, are getting a little bit beyond the agreement, you know, the comfort level, the comfort zone, if you will, that I have with you.
877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Let's go over here to Miguel in Wichita, Kansas. Miguel, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Thanks for calling. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so I just don't see why this person believes that they can get away with just an apology for this. It doesn't make any sense because there's been a lot of incidents like this in the past with other restaurants, and they simply get sued. They have to close down because their licenses are taken away. They just had a similar incident last year at a KFC where all the person did was take a bath in the sink, and they were shut down. And this gentleman believes all he has to do is comp a potato and apologize and that he can get away with this. I mean, he's...
Wait a minute. I don't understand. Putting chicken in a sink. Hold on for a minute. Putting chicken in a sink, all right, and finding a condom in a baked potato, I don't think are similar. What is it that... What more does she need? I told her, I was honest with her, that, yeah, okay, and I apologize, I probably did have that condom on.
Oh, come on, man. If that was somebody else, you were sitting there and having that potato, and someone came up to you and said, oh, I'm sorry, I probably was wearing that condom that you're finding in your potato there, would that not sicken you?
It would depend on who it was.
Oh, please.
It would depend on who it was.
877-876-PHIL. Ted Bell. Ted's in Beverly Hills with us. We'll be right back on the world famous show.
Phil Hendry.
Come on, will you?
Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, this is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. You'll have a great experience at our restaurant, but I am honest enough to tell you, yeah, if I'm responsible for something in your food, for something being in your food, I will tell you, and that's the honesty that we promise, Phil.
I want to ask you, Ted, Ted Bell with us from Ted's of Beverly Hills, that this woman was angry. You didn't think she had any right to be that angry. You felt you were forthcoming.
Well, what's happened here is I'm the good guy, and I say that good guy, put quotes around that, but what I'm trying to tell you is this. Every time in this country an honest man comes forward, every time in this country an individual who wants to do the right thing comes forward, we vilify him because we are so frightened of being honest. We might as well take the honest man and nail him to a cross. And
oh, you know, you go with these Jesus analogies.
No, that's exactly what happened to me. That's exactly what happened to me. I got nailed to a cross, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious, and I apologize, but, you know, you got to say what you got to say. You got to say what you got to say. I was beaten, and I you don't want me to say it, but I feel as if I was forced to drag a cross up a hill.
And how are you forced to drag a cross up a hill, man? You left a condom in a woman's food.
I didn't put it there.
You admitted to having sex in the kitchen. That's got to be some health code violation. and the condom, and you're honest enough, and so therefore, I don't want to say anything. I don't want anybody giving me any heat about it. I want this whole thing to go away. I comped her baked potato, and life should go forward. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Brittany in Raleigh, North Carolina. Brittany, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ted Bell.
You know what? I think Ted is honestly crazy. Ted is misinformed. This is an open and shut case on that woman's part, not only for his violation of multiple health codes, but for negligent infliction of emotional distress. He acted with reckless disregard that having sex in a kitchen, aside from being completely unprofessional, is completely unsanitary.
Are you a lawyer?
And that could emotionally distress someone. As a matter of fact, I am. I just graduated law school at the bar.
Oh, well, all right. Well, that makes sense, because what you do is you, like a vulture sitting on a tree, you just wait for any dead animal to come along so you can go down and have a snack. That's
Are
what
you a
people
dead
do.
Animal or
oh,
Jesus,
no, whoa, 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 whoa.
No. That's what she does. You hang around and you wait for something to come along that's juicy like this low-hanging fruit.
No, it's someone protecting someone else's interest, someone else's safety, and someone else's physical safety also.
I can understand.
She could be physically harmed by this. God knows what you have.
How about protecting me? How about protecting me? Why wouldn't you take my case?
Protecting you from what? You had sex in a kitchen and it put a condom in a woman's potato and then tried to comp her, what, a $5 potato?
$5? Ma'am, my restaurant is one of the top steakhouses on the West Coast. We are in Beverly Hills, California. I can assure you it's a lot more than $5. Our side dishes don't go under $25.
25 bucks for a side dish, huh?
That's right. $25
for a potato?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, I bet you think it's a slam dunk. You go into a courtroom because you think you've got easy pickings here. You don't want to stand up for someone who's honest. You want to stand up for somebody looking for an easy payday.
Look, Ted, let's take this one at a time, okay?
Oh, hold on for a minute. I don't like you. Is this woman someone you know?
What do you mean?
She says she's a lawyer. Did you put her up to this?
I don't know who this lady is.
I'm calling in. I'm driving through the area.
What kind of lawyer are you? What kind of lawyer are you?
In general practice, mostly criminal law.
Well, I would love for you, just once, one of you people to take the honest man's side. And I said that I was honest.
It has nothing to do with being honest.
Oh, it's got nothing to do with being honest? That's what I thought.
Your honesty does not absolve the fact that you acted in reckless disregard for this woman's safety and emotional well-being.
I didn't even know she existed. I didn't even know she existed the night before.
You
know don't you understand?
You know, food that comes from your kitchen, and yet you're having sex in your own kitchen.
You want to know what this is about? I'm going to tell you what it's about.
Please let me speak.
I got it. Well, you're a criminal lawyer. You don't even know this end of law.
Well, you let her finish, man. You know, you're on the program for 40 minutes talking.
I'm paying for this program.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Brittany.
You claim to be a professional with this amazing restaurant in Beverly Hills. It's so fabulous. And yet you're acting in a complete disregard for your customers who come here expecting an elite amount of service then, because it is a high-end restaurant
in
Beverly Hills.
Yeah. Let me tell you something,
and in fact, you can get better sanitation at the Waffle House, apparently, because I really
have
the condom in my potato there.
That's probably where you take most of your meetings, too, so I'm sure you'd know. But let me tell you something. First of all, my restaurant is a high-end restaurant. You're absolutely right, which means you probably would not be able to afford going in there and actually experiencing the dining experience as people know it. Secondly,
why would anybody want to do it if they're finding a condom in a potato?
Boy, you waited for that one, didn't you? You waited for just the right moment for that.
What?
I'm the sponsor of the...
Ted, I can't sit here and defend a sponsor, even though you are a sponsor, when you're telling me about condoms in potatoes and the fact that...
This woman assaulted me verbally, called me every name in the book, called me... Is this Brittany still on the line? You there, lawyer? Lawyer.
And I would ask you to have some respect.
All right, is the lady there? Yes, she's there. She called me a... You want to know what she called me? In front of children, by the way. I'd like to say, she said this to me, and there were children in our seating area. You know what she called me?
I'm sure that's not appropriate, but still, would have
she
to say
me
that your behavior and your response
she what?
Seems very lackadaisical considering the seriousness of the offense. And your response is, I'll call you a potato, I'm so sorry. Oh, yeah, ha-ha, I had sex in the kitchen last night. It was this crazy party.
Well, apparently you weren't there because I didn't say anything. Like, I didn't go, ha-ha, I had sex in the kitchen last night. I said, I'm very sorry. I'm very, very sorry, but I had sex. Yeah, I did say that. I had sex with one of the servers in the kitchen.
With
So it's appropriate
with
for you
one
to
of the servers in the kitchen
in front of children, but her
right.
response because
okay.
she was using obscenity is not
in front of children. Lawyer, see, that's what you lawyers do. You lie. I didn't have it in front of a kid. I had it in the kitchen. What that? What
you
your
said that there?
Did,
no,
though,
you said that
the
there
client,
were children
what your
in the
said,
restaurant. So you're describing
yeah, when
her
this
how Brittany, there
when
was
this
sexual activity
said,
in the restaurant. So
the
you're saying this in front of children, but she can't talk in obscenity.
I didn't do anything in front of children.
You were talking about this in front of children.
Talking about what?
The fact that you had sex in a kitchen.
Okay, so I was talking about it, but I wasn't calling. She called me queer. So you didn't want to hear that part.
All right. Anyway, Brittany, thank you very much for your caller. Number 877-876. Phil, thank you. I don't know, Ted, that you're making your case here. In Houston, Texas, Nancy, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
I don't see. I don't understand, sir, how you can think by apologizing can make the whole situation go around. What if somebody? What if that child? A child would have come across that and everything else. You that could have been sitting there. I could have been sitting at that table. My child could have took a bite of that potato and that been there. And you just think that's just a correct way to just to say,
no.
"Oh, I'm sorry," and I'll comp it.
No,
I've been working
not at
in
all.
Restaurants for 10 years and never seen some crap like some stuff like this. This is ridiculous. Your attitude towards it.
No, ma'am. What I would do if it was a child is I would very gently say to the child.
Say to the child?
Will you let me finish?
No, and I'm not going to let you finish. You're going to talk to the child?
Well, whose potato was it in?
Oh, well, you know what, sir? Let me explain something to you. If you even open your mouth to say one word to my child, you can forget about me suing you for a condom being a potato. You can, to think that you would have a nerve to want to say something to a child? You are
well, you
crazy.
You asked me to apologize to
you
the child,
crazy.
Didn't you?
No, she didn't.
I hope your restaurant shuts down and goes out of business.
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. Don't talk like that. Hold on. We have an A rating in our restaurant. Los Angeles County Health gave us an A rating. Okay?
Did they give you an A rating after the condom?
Would you please? No, this was before the condom incident. So, obviously... I want to be honest.
Obviously, they need to do another check on you and stuff because if you think it's morally correct and healthy to have sex in the kitchen of a restaurant, that shows what kind of morals you have. What else have you served up in their food?
Well, that hurts. I want you to know that hurts. Because
I don't care if it hurts or not because why do you think that woman felt finding that in her food? That she expects to go somewhere and have a healthy food and not have something come back and get her sick. Or something that's disgusting that just makes you not even want to think eat again.
Let's just do something here for a minute, if I could, Phil. Let's say that Nancy is the customer, and Nancy has just found this condom. This is what I would say to you, Nancy, and tell me if what I'm doing is wrong. I would say the following thing. Nancy, on behalf of Ted's of Beverly Hills, I'm sorry. That condom, I was wearing that last night, yes. I can assure you I have no disease.
You don't know that. You don't know
yes,
that.
Yes, I do.
It takes years for no, it doesn't. It takes years for things to show up on a test. Honey,
no,
I have a medical degree. I have been to medical
HIV.
School. I have know all this stuff. You are crazy if you think that.
Well, at least
it takes years
here.
For HPV virus to show up in someone's system. So how do you know you're not carrying around the new transmitted disease, the HPV version, because it hadn't popped up in your system? It takes years
what
for AIDS
HPV?
And HIV to pop in your system.
Oh, that sounds like something you made up. What do you mean, HPD?
It's a new mutated version of the virus.
I made up. Do you think this is the day after you have sex with someone with AIDS and it's going to be in your system and it's going to show up on a test?
No.
You're an idiot.
I can assure you, so that's how you're going to respond to me. I'm being polite to you. And
of course she is. You just told her that you had sex in the kitchen. That's your condom. And she just made a very good point. It ain't going to show up right away, man. If that person you had sex with...
That's not the first time I'd had sex with her. Well, I guess it...
You are morally corrupt.
Oh,
you have no business having a license to have a certificate to run a restaurant. I would never, in my wildest dreams,
recommend, and if anybody ever asked me about your restaurant, I would never tell them to never show up in your place. Because if my child, that would have been me, and my child would have been me, because I don't go to a restaurant without my kids, I guarantee you, you would have had more problems than me being disgusted by what you did. And what you said, I commit, okay, you want credit, you want a round, a pat on the back because you were honest about the, what happened, okay, I'll give you that. At least you were honest. It still does not make what you did right.
Yeah, but what do I get for being honest? You just said, yeah, you're honest, great, and that's it, and you just move on? I don't get nothing? All you're going to
do is nothing. You just, you know what, you know what you do get something. You know what you deserve? You know what you deserve?
What?
To be out of business. That's what you deserve. You deserve to be out of business.
I walked into that.
Yeah, you walked right into that is right. Okay? You teed it up, and Nancy just hit it out of the park.
Let me tell you something, Henry. I was on it, and I'm a sponsor. What about that, Nancy? I don't mind you giving me crap, but what about the host? He's giving me crap. And I'm giving his show money. Yeah. She doesn't have a quick
answer. Yes, right, though. But guess what? You did something wrong, not him. And if he has a right to sit here and give you crap for what you've done because you've done something
wrong,
whether you support him or not, this man is in the right. You are in the wrong.
That's where you're wrong. Because I'm the sponsor, Mr. Henry has to take responsibility for me leaving a condom in the potatoes. So it's actually
for him. No, he doesn't. It's not his fault.
What are you talking about?
I'm sponsoring your show.
All right. Thank you, Nancy. I got to take a break.
Whoa. Don't believe. You know, she's the first woman who halfway understands me, even though she's ripping into me. You understand it because I sponsor your show. I'm going to have to make you take responsibility for having sex with that woman in the.
Thank you,
you
very
what?
Much, Nancy.
You're
for your call.
So cheap. You cheapened that woman by you couldn't even have enough balls to take her to a room. You sit there and cheapen yourself and that woman that you take her to, that you want to have sex in a kitchen of a restaurant where people's have poop comes through?
Well, you got a point.
Oh, boy. All right, Nancy, thank you very much for your call. 877-876-7445. And that's not going to be that. Because he sponsors my show, then I'm the guy that's got to take responsibility. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Henry Show, back with our final segment with Ted Bell. Next hour, of course, is our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
877-876-PHIL. And for those of you that are watching our video cast tonight, we had a little bit of a technical glitch there. We had a DDR feed, another area that we play video effects from, and the feed, the audio was bleeding over, and I apologize. That messed up that segment. I apologize. I can't hear that DDR, so we need to get the audio. This is not a radio problem. It's just a video problem. We're going to get the audio feeding to us from the TriCast. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Along with me here is Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills. That last lady, Ted, I think said it all.
No, she did not say it all, Phil. I can tell you that I was embarrassed for you that you did not stand up for me.
There's not a lot to stand up for, Ted.
And I don't, and certainly I don't buy that. I was embarrassed for you for not standing up for me. The fact that I'm sponsoring your program.
There's nothing to stand up for.
And the fact that I'm sponsoring your program, you know I want to hold on to our A-plus rating from L.A. County. And now some woman who will not accept an apology. All right, so she found a rubber in her potatoes. What? All of a sudden, this becomes the tsunami in Japan. Is that what this is? This becomes a tragedy on the level of a nuclear meltdown. You know, I can't.
For that woman, that is a very serious issue, considering the possibility that I saw a tornado on the news. That she might get some kind of a disease, regardless of what it is that you think about your own health. Here is Emily in Boston on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Emily.
How are you doing?
What I think about my health.
Yeah, how you doing, Emily?
I'm good. How you doing?
Yes, very good.
My question is,
If you were to find the condom in your mashed potatoes, what would you have done if you were at a 4-star, 5-star restaurant?
Well, no, this was a baked potato. It was not a mashed potato. That's number one.
Sorry.
Number two, if I had found if I had found the condom in my potatoes and the owner assured me, it's different. And I'll tell you why it's different.
It's
be
not
angry.
Different.
No
if you
I'd
had
be angry.
Found... If you had found
but you have to make it something that a woman would
your
do.
Mashed potatoes, and the chef came out and said, oh, sorry,
what?
I was having intercourse with one of my stewardesses
no.
or
It's not the same thing. It's not the same thing. You have to do it so it's a woman, because I was the man and she was a woman. So let's say I'm a man, so it has to be a woman.
Why does it have to be a woman?
Will you let me do this, Mr. Hendry? I'd have to, first of all, find like a diaphragm in my potatoes, which is ridiculous, or something similar, like, let's say, spermicide cream.
Oh, come on, man. First of all, I got a radio show and a license to protect here. Do you mind?
What?
Sir, I'm on the other side of the country. I'm trying to plan a vacation, and honestly, my family's in California.
I'm asking you, ma'am, that if, let's say you're the owner of the restaurant, and you come up to me and you say, I'm sorry, you found that Vagisil in the potatoes. I'd say, all right.
Oh, bull crap.
Oh, I get it. So I'm just a liar every which way. Is that it?
Are you telling me everything would be cool?
Everything would be cool, yeah.
That's
I don't believe you. I don't believe you.
So now you're calling me a liar, and you've encouraged this caller to call me a liar. So now you've got the listeners listening to you to call me a liar. And what happens?
Sir, there's a big difference between a woman using protection and a man throwing a used condom in mashed potatoes.
I don't know the difference.
That's just
I really
gross.
Don't. If you put your fingers into a jar of that stuff and just take a wad of it, just fling it into some potatoes.
Really? Is that what you do on your free time?
No, I'm saying that if a woman did that...
You know, that's the most asinine thing.
Have you known women who do that?
Well, I don't know. Now, do I? And I'll tell you something else.
But you know you, and you use condoms and put them in mashed potatoes.
I didn't put it in there on purpose. It was a mistake.
It just happened to fall in there?
I thought the garbage can... I thought the mashed potato... I thought the potato bin was a garbage can. I threw it in there.
Oh, boy, you are really stupid, man. You know that?
So let the record show that they're now laughing at me. I'm the sponsor of this hour. I've been laughed at. I've been called an animal.
Sir, you just said that you thought the mashed potato bin was the trash can. That doesn't say much
ma'am.
For your restaurant now, does it?
You know, I'd like you to come out to California, steak dinner on me. You just tell them it's Emily. I'm going to come out, and I'm going to escort you to your table, Emily, and we're going to talk about it. And the dinner's on me, all drinks, everything.
By all means. My family's in San Diego. You're in what, L.A.?
All right. We're in Beverly Hills. Beverly Hills.
If you pay for my flight, pay for my hotel, and everything else, I will be there.
Well, if I do that, then obviously I'll expect something, you know, more than... I'm sure you
understand. Okay, you can leave your condom.
Will you get out of here? Never mind. Phil Hendry will be back. What an animal.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy.
Let me tell you what's going on over there right now. Make no bones about it.
I believe that being gay is something that is perfectly fine.
I believe that the taxpayers really should know.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
That's what the taxpayers ought to know. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they never will be able to. So there you go. Just suck on that. It's all right. You'll live. We're talking about the other talk shows, not you guys. House Majority Leader John Boehner has pressed President Obama for an explanation of the mission in Libya. It's not a bad idea. I know what I would do. I've said it on that most distinguished of platforms, Twitter. I said, we have the nuclear submarines, we've got the missile systems, we have the offensive systems, we've spent a lot of money for them. We've spent enormous amounts of money in training our people to operate them. We'd like to see what they can do. I can think of no better place to try them out than the areas in and around where Colonel Gaddafi is and his Air Force and his military. In other words, Libya.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Of course. So anyway, we will talk about that this hour. The Gay Cure app gets yanked from Apple. Now, what's that about? I don't necessarily agree with a Gay Cure app, but I don't understand what happened there. Now, I know that there are a great many people would say there's no difference between a Gay Cure app and an app that tells black folks you can shrink your lips and narrow your nose and you can straighten your hair, or an app that says for you Asian folks you can make your eyes rounder, or an app, well, actually you can. I was going to say an app for women, you can be a guy.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, some of those apps, they actually work.
I understand that there are people who make that argument, and it's patently offensive, absolutely. But there was someone that accepted that business on behalf of Apple, so I'm curious to know what is Apple's true stand on this. They only pulled that when they got pressure from gay people and from individuals that found it offensive. That's the only time. Otherwise, they would have been perfectly fine with it. So where are you coming from, Apple? I got one of your iPhones, by the way. It's a fantastic product. Anyway, plus legendary actress Elizabeth Taylor has passed on. 877-876-PHIL. Along with me here is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here for our news hours. How are you guys doing, Bud? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And David will find out about that, the Skyfire and everything.
Oh, yeah, Skyfire. We found out from a listener today with Skyfire, which I believe is a browser.
Yeah, he was claiming that you can live stream the video cast on iPhone.
That is, if that's true, that's a major, major development. Actually, where is my iPhone? I don't have it with me. Otherwise, I would do that. So if that's true, then this is going to fast-track our asses. I'm almost sure this will fast-track our asses. And I'll tell you one other thing. The reason why that's possible is because we now are video casting the show by way of a TriCaster, which gives us a ton of options. So if you have a backstage pass, and you are watching the video cast of our show right now, we are more mobile than ever, it would appear. Of course, you can watch us on your Droid phone, your iPhone up to this point, because they don't allow Flash players, been very, very difficult. But come to find out, it may very well be possible with this browser. And our goal is certainly to make our video at least available on demand. So stay tuned for that. World-famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Before we get to Elizabeth Taylor and so many other news stories, you guys don't know about this, do you?
Get the one you were telling about. I don't know anything about it.
Well, okay, now that happened a long time ago, though.
Right, this happened a long time ago. You guys don't remember, and you guys listening, remember when I was talking to you about OSHA standards, OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration? You remember that?
Yeah.
You see, I'm not so conservative as to believe that there are not government agencies that are absolutely necessary. Otherwise, we've got ourselves all kinds of problems. One of them is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Now, let's not get into any discussion as to how OSHA may be improved or how it may have lost its way. But the fact of the matter is, occupational safety became very, very important after March 25th of 1911. And on that warm spring Saturday afternoon, 146 mostly young women died, and they died a horrible death, some of them in falls from fourth and fifth floor windows, some of them in the fire, some of them from suffocation. It was a horrible day for New York City. And it would have been a horrible day for the United States of America if we had the kind of media coverage we have today. Everybody in the country would have seen the video of this terrible event. It was a fire that started in a factory. It was the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. A fire that was made all the more tragic because as those young ladies tried to escape the workroom that they were in, the doors had been chained shut by the employers because they didn't want these young women sneaking out and having cigarettes out on the fire escape. They didn't want the young women sneaking out and going back to their homes to get things. They wanted everybody inside. It's really, really hard for people to imagine this, but it's not anything. Were we all alive then, it isn't anything that you would want to pillory these people for. I'm sure that when this happened, they were devastated because nobody in those days, it just never occurred to anybody. Today, you know, to quote the great Justice Jackson, it's easy for us to stand on what we think is the pinnacle of human achievement, the present, and look back with arrogance and disdain on the long path of history behind us. Oh, well.
Yeah, we think we're pretty bitching.
We do. We're all like, oh, look at me. Look at where I am here in the present day. We're so advanced. And look at all of those slobs back there. Well, the fact is, we're where we are today because of all those people. If they hadn't learned what they learned, we wouldn't even be close to where we are. They're the ones that brought us to where we are today. And unfortunately, they had to go through some living hell, man. You know, Robert?
Well, I bet nobody had ever, probably people had died like that, but nobody ever cared, you know.
Well, that's another point. No one ever cared. But because a place called America was invented. See, there wasn't a place called America. There was never a place called America. There wasn't a place, this country. I mean, this was a dream. This was a fantasy that we would have a place called America where we would actually care for workers to the point where we would ensure some kind of occupational safety. There's no country in the world that did that. We were doing stuff over here. The rest of the world was looking down their nose at us saying, well, now, will you get a load of the hicks? What are they up to now in their coonskin caps and their fringe jackets and their cowboy boots? What are those slobs doing over? What is that? Occupational safety. But you see, what we did in this country and continue to do, and pray God that we always do this, we look at a problem and we say, how do we solve it? We look at a problem and Americans say, let's get to it, baby. Let's go. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Huh? I'll never forget, I worked with when I was just out, you know, I'd left home, and I was working in an animal hospital of all places, okay?
Yeah.
And I was a kennel boy. Well, we had a nurse, a doctor's assistant in this animal hospital. She's a great lady, a young woman, a couple of years older than me. She was from Hungary. And she used to say to me, she says, God, you know, she'd say it like this, like Arianna Huffington, you know?
Yeah, it probably sounded like Arianna Huffington when she come over, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But she said, I've never seen anything like Americans. Always work, always work, always work. I said, well, what do you do in Hungary? Oh, sitting around on our ass eating a donut, all this crap. She said, basically, she said, you know, I mean, we get work done, but we're in Hungary. We, you know, take it easy. But over here, you people, good God. I said, yeah, you know, we never stop over here. But we're always looking for solutions. Well, after this terrible, terrible fire, 146 people, it became a touchstone for organized labor. It spurred laws that required fire drills and shed light on the lives of young immigrant workers near the turn of the century. Police officers who saw this transpire in New York City for years after were traumatized by this. There were cops in New York that said, I couldn't walk a beat on that block. I couldn't go by that building without it just sending me into a deep, deep depression. Rescue workers, the fire department, just onlookers that day. Because you have to understand, folks, there was and a makeshift morgue, which I think they used some adjoining building. There were 146 bodies, some of them burned beyond recognition, lined up. And the relatives, this was before there was any kind of effort to communicate in a sensitive way to the families. Basically would say, there was a fire at the deal today. Well, what the hell happened? Well, you know,
they didn't tell nobody?
They did, but they just say, hey, we had a fire and, you know, we've had some deaths. Well, was my daughter killed? I don't know. You're going to have to come down and check out the dead bodies.
Well, they didn't say it like that.
Well, pretty much.
Well, they didn't be sensitive.
Well, what are they going to say, bud? Hey, we had a fire. We're very sorry to tell you. We had a fire. And can you tell me about my daughter? I can't. Unless, you know, you can come down. What? It takes too much time. That's not the way they were back then. Back then, as we said, life was hard, man. It was much harder than it is now. And you don't, what, is my kid alive? I'm sorry, we can't tell you. Will I ever find out? No, you will never find out because we're moving on. You moved on. Six of those people were unidentified until just this past month. A very fine gentleman, I forget his name. This man actually did this research and came up with the names of those final six people that were unidentified. So you had to go down, you had to look at these bodies that are burned beyond recognition and find out whether one of them is your daughter, your child, your wife, whoever. So the 100th anniversary of that horrifying fire, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, is tomorrow, Friday the 25th. 100 years since the most horrific tragedy up to that point occurred. And there are these moments in American history. And that was one of them, Civil War. I mean, some are bigger than others, but this is one that got lost in the annals of history because it seemed like so many much bigger things happened. But it was a tragedy, it was a trauma, and it really scarred the country for a long time. Michael Hirsch identified the remaining victims. That's the name of the writer. And it did bring about great change in this country. Now, there was a documentary on HBO. PBS's Triangle Fire, which premiered on February the 28th, and HBO's Triangle Remembering Fire, which is going to be on Monday. Check out and see if that PBS one is still airing. We'll be back with Elizabeth Taylor.
But she's dead. Well, what?
Don't get smart, okay? Yes, I know she's dead. We're going to be back with the news.
What an idiot, man.
Back with Elizabeth Taylor and more here on a world-famous Phil Hendry show, plus transgendered New Yorkers want to be called women even if they still have their male thing, see? So, well, anyway, we'll talk about that. The world-famous Phil Hendry show and philhendryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Welcome here, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us here in our news hour. And we certainly thank Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills for joining us this evening, as well as Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Although Ted Bell has got himself a problem, man, with that condom underneath the sour cream on the baked potato from the baked potato tree. But we'll find out what happens. News spread rather fast this morning. It broke at about 6 o'clock, and there were some who said the first time they read it on the Phil Hendry Show feed because we just happened to be awake at 6 o'clock.
What were you doing?
That's none of your business what I was doing.
Oh, what are you talking about, man? Well, what are you doing up at 6 o'clock?
That's none of your business. What are you usually up in the middle of the night, and that's the middle of the night for me? What are you usually doing?
Going to the club.
Shut up. Anyway, Elizabeth Taylor died. Now, I know that there's a whole generation of people who are sort of scratching their head and going, oh, wow, this is one of this, I guess, something that the old people are kind of into. Yeah, sort of. I mean, you can imagine that anything that today you follow with great fervency, for instance, there may be young men listening right now who are big fans of The Rock. Believe it or not, someday when you're 50 and The Rock finally croaks, you'll feel a little wistful and people will, you know, young people will say, well, who? What do you mean wrestling? What was that? Or you may be you might get a little misty-eyed over Rebecca Black when she, I'm kidding.
No, I'm gonna get, ha, ha, ha. That chicken did the Friday song. Nobody's going to be mistful about that.
I didn't say mistful. I said wistful. In any event, one such person, and she was truly iconic. I don't think that this takes any real explaining. Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't just a beautiful woman, and in recent years, a lot of people knew her as an activist. Elizabeth Taylor was a great actress. I mean, beyond what we knew her for in the last, say, 20 or 30 years as an activist, and maybe that's sort of politically polarizing for a lot of people. In fact, she worked, you know, as an AIDS activist. I don't know. It's healing people.
Yeah, I know, but she was very active with like Michael Jackson, all that, you know.
Isn't it true that most of the guys what she fell in love with was gay?
No, that's not true. No. What do you mean fell in love with?
Well, she was in love with, okay, Michael Jackson, The other guy that you said was gay. What other guy?
That one guy you said.
I said she was friends with an actor named Montgomery Clift. You guys don't even know what you're talking about, okay?
Yeah, that guy.
She was friends with that guy. She fell in love with guys like Mike Todd, Richard Burton, Eddie Fisher. These are the men that she married. John Warner, the governor of Virginia. These are the guys that she married, see? She was a big friend and a big fan of gay men, a lot of gay men, that's right. She died early this morning, early yesterday morning, technically, of congestive heart failure, Elizabeth Taylor. When I think about the great movies that Elizabeth Taylor did, my favorite is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which you have to see to actually, you got to see to believe. It's a movie starring her and her then-husband, Richard Burton. Here is Elizabeth Taylor, nominated for an Oscar for her role in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1959. She played here Maggie. Here's a clip from the film co-starring Paul Newman.
If I thought you'd never, never make love to me again, I...
Brick.
Well, I'd find me the longest, sharpest knife I could, and I'd stick it straight into my heart. I'd do that. Oh, Brick, how long does this have to go on, this punishment? Haven't I served my term? Can't I apply for a pardon?
Lady, that finishing school voice yours sounds like you was running upstairs to tell somebody the house was on fire.
Is it any wonder? You know what I feel like? I feel all the time like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Then jump off the roof, Maggie, jump off it. Our cats jump off roofs and they land uninjured. Do it, jump.
Jump where? Into what?
Hey, Maggie.
You blew it!
Then we had, here is KTLA speaking with a couple of fans of Taylor's, getting the reaction to the star's death. Just anybody off the street. It was just,
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy. I mean, she was a great person, a great humanitarian. You know, I mean, she did a lot for,
people with AIDS.
Uh-huh. People with AIDS. I mean, she was a fundraiser. I'm a fan of hers also. You know, used to watch all the old movies, you know, dating myself, but, it's just a loss, you know. It's just a tragedy.
Well, there you go. And it's a great loss. I don't know if it's a tragedy, you know.
I mean, everybody's going to die.
Everyone's going to die, yeah. So it's, but it seemed like she was 79. Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. Is that old? These days, it doesn't seem like it. People live a long time. So, you know, Elizabeth Taylor's gone at the age of 79. There's a small piece of news out of Miami having to do with Neil Rogers, and I don't want to get into it right now because I want it to develop a little bit, but it has to do with the disbursement of Neil's estate, and it was in the Sun Sentinel, the South Florida paper. Neil Rogers is a great radio talent that I've spoken of many times on the show, and his estate right now is being contested, but when we get some more information, we'll give you that because I don't want to get into some, you know.
Why not?
Because I don't want to get into some speculation, bud. Why not? Don't ask me why not, okay? God, man. Just let some stuff go, all right?
Well, I mean, people want to know.
Well, look, if I say, you know what, tonight I don't think I'm going to do this bit, I think I'll do that bit. Don't go on the air and go, hey, why not? Leave it behind the scenes if you don't mind. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Movie chain operators fight a proposed federal nutrition disclosure rule on concession snacks, saying they're an unwarranted intrusion into their bed. Then, I agree with that, you know.
Why?
Well, because, don't you?
I don't know, man. I don't want to get fat or nothing.
Well, look, dude, if you're going to the concession stand for a movie, are you really hanging out and waiting to see? Are you really looking at nutrition crap on the side of the can or whatever the hell it is you're buying?
What do you mean can? Probably going to get the popcorn come in a can.
Or whatever it comes in. Also, a California councilwoman takes heat from the liberal media for speaking out against Muslim radicals. PhilHendryShow.com, our podcast, Phil TV, archives, blog, access to me via email. I'll actually respond to it. It's the only place you can talk to me. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are here each and every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. And, of course, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And what are we doing? We are marching together into the future, hand in hand, making our way toward a more efficient, a more efficient, a stronger America, and a country, of course, that emphasizes, as it always has and always will, the strengths of the individual over the automation of government. Movie chain operators fight proposed federal nutrition disclosure laws on concession stacks, saying they're an unwarranted... Yeah, it sounds like they're really bitching about something, doesn't it? It sounds like you want to just smack them and say, ah, go along with it. But I got to go with them on this, and I agree with them, because here's what's going on. We've lost touch with the reality of life. I'm not saying, folks, that we don't have our OSHAs, as I just mentioned. I'm not saying that we don't have our laws protecting children. I'm not saying that we don't have some reasonable laws to protect us from dying from air pollution, things like that. I certainly would like to know whether I take too much of a medicine. What am I supposed to do? What is that thing they make you do?
I always tell you, eat egg whites.
Yeah, because egg whites will make you throw up.
No kidding. Make me throw up. But I'm wondering just how much of this garbage I got to know. Right now, there's an effort underway, a provision in the federal health care law stipulating that restaurant chains with at least 20 U.S. locations provide the caloric content of menu items. Last summer, the Food and Drug Administration indicated that it intended to apply the provision not only to restaurants, but also to grocery stores, concession stands, and those at movie theaters. Now, one of the things that drives people ape about the federal health care law is it's got all of this unnecessary jazz. You know, it's one thing to say you got to get health insurance. All right, I got to get health insurance. But this law is such a utopian dream in the middle of a less than utopian budget. You know, they used to say, you're looking for steak on a hamburger economy, on a hamburger budget, or however they used to say it. Well, that's what we're doing, man. We're looking for steak on a hamburger budget, Jack. We ain't got money for this. We don't even have any money for this health care law. And now they went out, well, let's work in a couple of things here, work in a couple of things here. And by the way, let's have nutritional information at concession stands, grocery stores, meaning where they're feeding you stuff at grocery stores.
Yeah, you know, you go and get a sandwich or something like that at the grocery store, or I forget what else. Oh, like a bakery or something?
Yeah, well, you go and get a bakery like a donut.
Well, what do you mean a donut? Are you trying to tell me they're going to have me put nutritional information on a donut? I know the donut's going to make me fat. At what point do we say, all right, enough is enough, man? I understand you. If you have the luxury of going into a supermarket and you're shopping and you're walking along, I wonder what I ought to get. Well, here's the nutritional information. It's very valuable. As a matter of fact, it's so valuable that it could help you save money. Look at this. This has more nutrients and things that are better for my family, and it's less money than the one over here. I think I'll get this. You know, at this advanced age of my life, where I, have to eat high fiber.
Oh, yeah, on account of...
You blew it!
Right. So I'm looking for high-fiber breads. I find some breads with a lot of fiber, man, and they don't cost no much.
Right.
Don't cost no much.
Yeah. Anyway, you go to a movie theater, and you get yourself, what do you get? What do you get, bud?
Well, I get a popcorn. I'll probably get a Coca-Cola and maybe the Milk Dud, or either a Milk Dud or Jujubes.
Are you kidding me, man?
All right, but he has a right to that. What do you get?
I don't know. I'll probably get like a Jelly Belly.
What do you mean Jelly Belly?
Same thing as Jujube. I get a Jelly Belly. I get a popcorn sometime. Or I like to get a Big Hunk.
Big Hunk? That's gay.
Gay?
Well, all right, so he gets a Big Hunk.
What do you get?
I get popcorn. That's it for me, man. That's it for me, you know. Sometimes, if I'm really in the mood, I'll get a box of one of those Skittles or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's it. I get popcorn. Now, I know full well, man, that Skittles and all that jazz is not good for me. I understand the nutritional content, and they will continue to have the nutritional content of Skittles and anything you buy in a box. But what they want to do now is put the nutritional content of popcorn. Why? Why?
For the same reason they got it in a supermarket.
Look, man...
If I want to eat crap, a terrible thing happened in the state of California in the early 1990s. It was the helmet law. The helmet laws became the poster child law for the legislative move and by state and federally to pass over from someone performing some kind of injurious act that would hurt other people to someone performing an injurious act that would primarily hurt themselves. And that was the helmet law, the motorcycle helmet law. The motorcycle helmet law became law in our state because they lied through their teeth about the numbers of injuries from motorcyclists not wearing helmets that were appearing in hospital emergency rooms. They lied, flat out lied. They were saying that it was costing the taxpayers of California this enormous amount of money, this bunch of anuses who wanted to simply control the behavior of other people, had nothing whatsoever to do with the taxpayers. But that's what they got to come up with, don't you understand? They got to lie. They have to tell you. They can't just say, we want to control people. Why is that? Because we don't dig seeing people going down the road without helmets. Why is that? Because it just... Because it's bugs you, huh? Yeah. Well, you'll never get a law passed based on something that just bugs you because you're too much. First of all, you're a slob. Nobody wants to like you. And nobody's going to pass a law that you like. Yeah, I know. I guess you'll have to lie about something, huh? Yeah, I know. We'll say that those people getting into accidents on motorcycles without their helmets, they're going into emergency rooms, and they don't have insurance. Aha! And they're costing us a lot of money. Aha! And they lied. God, do they lie. And that's how they got the helmet law passed. And suddenly, an action which really doesn't hurt anybody other than the dumbass on the motorcycle not wearing the helmet. Oh, now all of a sudden it's everybody's business. Everybody's business. So now when you're fat, it's everybody's business. Now when you smoke, it's everybody's business. You name me one activity where it isn't everybody's business. Somebody out there in America thinks that's really cool. I'm not one of them. I don't know about you. If you're ugly, that's everybody's business.
Ugly?
Yeah, like you, bud. You're causing me psychological damage.
Yeah, you better go get your face fixed, man.
Yeah, after you.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, man?
Well, not you. You're ugly.
I know I'm ugly. But the fact is, I ain't going to go out and get any plastic surgery because it's bugging anybody. Some can't. You think I'm crazy? You think I'm making this crap up, folks? We've done this stuff for years on this show. And one of the things we love to say is that satire is the great predictor of the future. And it is. Satire is the great predictor of the future. There isn't anything that has happened in our world that hasn't been predicted at one time or another on our show with a satirical bit that at the time we thought was overreaching reality. We thought it was ridiculous. It could never happen. Guess what? We did a bit with Steve Bozell once, where he sued some public pool because he got a dive stick stuck up as you know what. It was a joke. It was a satirical bit. We were laughing about it. Hey, guess what happened a couple of years later? Dive sticks were outlawed in the state of California because the same thing happened to somebody. So I would say to you, hey, let's do a bit tonight, and it'll be a guy who is so ugly he's caused psychological damage to the people around him, and they have sued him and forced him to get plastic surgery. And we all go, ha, 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 isn't that absurd, and it could never happen. Guess what? You want to make a, anybody want to take a bet on that? I'll make a bet. I'll make a bet right now. I swear to God, it's going to get worse before it gets better, before we finally slap ourselves back into shape and say, what the hell are we doing? This is asinine. You're going to sue everybody because they look funny at you. You're going to sue somebody because the guy is not, his nose is too big. Sue someone because their ears are too big. Sue somebody because they smell bad. You can't eat peanuts. You can't have on perfume. You can't smoke a cigarette. We have people who feel entitled now to walk in front of people with cigarettes and wave their hands and comment to that individual in an insulting way. You know, you comment enough times that way to somebody smoking a cigarette, they're liable to knock your freaking head off, man. And I don't smoke anymore, but I join them. Well, we live in a society that is increasingly populated and controlled by a-holes. And I wish that I could give you the complete word, even though it's probably not against any FCC rule, not that the FCC has any rules, but somebody's liable. Would you dump that if I didn't tell you to? You would have dumped it? Really? Okay. A-hole's okay, but the other one? You know, the funny thing about that other one is that the other guys are saying it, but okay. Anyway. So this is what our country has been taken over, not so much by the touchy-feelies that think they're doing us all a favor. You know, I'm really offended by the way you said the word, Mexican. I'm really offended. That's a potent word in the repertoire of some people. They think if they lay that one on you, man, they have just hit you. They have hit you with the Gatling gun, man. Oh, I'm offended. So now we got to have the nutritional stuff on popcorn. We got to have the nutritional stuff. You know, if you stop off and get yourself saltwater taffy on a boardwalk on a beautiful sunny day in our beautiful country of America, as we're enjoying the beach and the waves and the ocean, you're stopping off to get saltwater taffy. Whoa, better have that nutritional information on there. We can't enjoy a traditional day of saltwater taffy on the boardwalk, man, without that nutritional information on the Balboa bar. Now, can we?
Balboa bars rock the world, man.
I love those.
Yeah, you like them, huh? I like Balboa bars, too. Guess what? They're going to have to stick the nutritional information on them now.
What are you talking about?
Ain't you been listening to me, man?
Yeah.
The Balboa bars that you like, I love them. Balboa bar is something we get here in California, right down there in Balboa. And it's chocolate. It's a chocolate bar with vanilla ice cream covered with the chocolate, thing.
Yeah, and then it's got the sprinkles.
Then it's got those chocolate sprinkles. Oh, baby. Freaking great, man.
I'll go out and get me a couple right now.
Yeah, well, pick me up one. But we can't get any Balboa bars anymore without the nutritional information on the side, because that's what the FDA wants, because that's what the healthcare law wants, because they don't understand how they're sucking the guts right out of who we are and what we are. They're sucking the life right out of it. You want to make a law for everything, you can't do it. You want to ensure everything, you can't do it. You can't make life safe 100%. It is not a proposition that is a safe proposition. Life is not a safe proposition. Life is, it's as the man said, a mystery to be explored. I mean, we can organize ourselves into societies and clans and tribes, and we can push ourselves forward down the corridor of history and enjoy what we see and suffer some of the things and really kind of pick up on a lot of stuff and just enjoy the ride. But what are we trying to do? Sterilize it? You're going to be dead someday. Dead. You'll be dead, and you'll ask yourself, what the hell did I just do? I passed every law there is, so now I can't even have a damn Balboa bar or saltwater taffy. Can't have any popcorn. Can't do that. Can't take a ride down the freeway on my motorcycle without my helmet because, can't do that. Can't smoke as a cigarette. Nothing. Can't. You know what's going to happen? Well, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a big-time backlash, and it won't be too long. People are just going to say, you can take that and stick it, because I ain't going there anymore, man. I'm going to light my freaking cigar up right in the middle of your living room. Now, I wouldn't do that, but... All right, we're coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Why would I want to light that in the middle of someone else's living room?
Well, hell, you used to do it in your house.
I'd light it in my living room, yeah. A California councilwoman, Deborah Pauley, threatened over remarks at a Tea Party protest where she said the Marines ought to kill some terrorists. I guess she was talking about Americans. It let the Marines speak for themselves, okay, stupid. And thanks to the culture of political correctness, the transgender community is upset in New York City. We'll tell you why that is taking place. The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for patriots. By patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, radio for patriots by patriots. California Councilwoman Deborah Pauley threatened over remarks at a Tea Party protest. And I know in my tease I said, well, this woman, she made some racist comments. No, she didn't make any racist comments at all. She didn't make any offensive comments at all. The Los Angeles Times, however, would like you to believe that she did. But This is not a rant here opposing the L.A. Times. It's a paper of record. It's a good newspaper, but it has an editorial slant. And we've often said to you guys that that makes its way into reporting. I didn't make it up. I'm not inventing that. That's a fact. The L.A. Times would have you believe that Deborah Pauly is some anti-Muslim racist bitch who is threatening them with death by way of the United States Marine Corps. And so on, so forth, and like that, their schmear. But the reality was that Deborah Pauly had made comments last month outside the Yorba Linda Community Center during a Muslim charity event. She and other protesters were upset with the event's keynote speakers, Imam Siraj Wahaj and Amir Abdel Malik Ali. Wahaj is an imam from a mosque in Brooklyn. A U.S. attorney named him and 169 others as, guess what, co-conspirators in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Malik Ali is a Bay Area Islamic activist who spoke at Israeli Apartheid Week at UC Irvine. There he said he supports Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group, a murderous group. But those candy-ass students at UC Irvine, candy-ass suburban whites, bringing in the Hezbollah mouthpiece. So she was protesting this. God almighty, man. Every time we have any kind of controversial speaker in this country, for one reason or another, there are people protesting. So what? Does that make her anti-Muslim? I do blame, to a point, some conservatives for this, because there are some conservatives who talk about Islam as a gutter religion, so on and so forth, and all you do is you get the ball rolling for these other jackasses and say, well, she's just anti-Muslim. So anybody that speaks out against a Muslim, anti-Muslim. And so you make it difficult for people to separate out the terrorists from the law-abiding American Muslims when you say it's a gutter religion. It's an ignorant, stupid thing to say. It's bigoted beyond all belief. There's no foundation in reality for it. Shut up! Because the rest of us are trying to make it clear to the populace at large that there are terrorists and that there are terrorist Muslims and that some of them are speaking at events and that some of us might want to protest them speaking at events, and we want to do that without being called anti-Muslim. And we've got some so-called conservatives calling Islam the gutter religion and this and that and something else. Grow up! She went on to say that she knows a few Marines, blah, blah, blah. There's no doubt. I mean, if you want a problem taken care of, there's no better resource than the United States Marine Corps. There's no better resource than the U.S. Marine Corps. I'll give her that. However, she wasn't talking about just Muslims. She was talking about two pieces of crap, one of them talking out in favor of Hezbollah. You know, one of the great things, among the many things that's happening in the Middle East right now, and it's one of the reasons why, for instance, fat ass Michael Moore is tweeting up a storm. This cat can't go a day without tweeting 9 million messages justifying his position, justifying his existence, and basically justifying the progressive and liberal position on the Middle East, because they've been suddenly caught with their pants down around their ankles. They don't know whether they ought to support Libya or not. I mean, they did support Egypt. I mean, they thought Tunisia was cool, but then they didn't support the Green Revolution. They didn't support Iraq. Well, oh, gee, why? They're pretty confusing, isn't it, their fat ass? You're all in a heap, ain't you, man? But one of the great things is that we now see the reality in the Middle East, and the reality is the following thing. They're not worried about Israel. They're worried about the dirtbags that are running their countries into the ground. They're worried about the thieves like Gaddafi and the thieves like Mubarak, yeah. And the thieves, and now Syria. And what did I tell you last night? The Syrians, those guys are one step, they're a notch removed from fascist Nazis. They'll murder their people. They don't care. They don't care what the world thinks. They'll gun them down. They'll cut them down in the streets by the hundreds. You watch. The Syrians are an example of the threatened elite in the Middle East, the fascist elite. Now, you tell me, fat ass, what side of that divide are you on? And don't give me this bullcrap about, you have to admit that if we go to war for Iraq, then we have to go to war for, hey, man, if it was up to me, we'd go to war all right. And we don't need to put any soldiers down on the ground there. We got something called an ICBM nuclear warhead. Yeah! World-famous Phil Hendry show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson. I'm kidding about nuclear weapons, but let's quit fooling around. We got the muscle. Dan Northcraft is our associate producer. PhilHenryShow.com, and until tonight, this is Phil Henry saying, well, never mind.
Phil Henry.